Welcome back, folks. We got a lot of domestic news to talk about, but you know, a lot of the Israel news is domestic news. I want to go to video number one here. This actually happy and surprised to see myself in this video from our debate with boomers, and but that's not the reason I want to play it. I want to play it because of what comes after, and I'll try to read along and try to keep up. The latest is that basically the Pentagon. So basically, Congress and the Senate got word from Bibi Netanyahu. He said, I want you to graft Israel and America and our militaries together. I want to fuse them into one being, and I'm giving this to you, our most powerful goy. And they dutifully took the bills, put them for a vote. Now, again, if you want to rename a library, or, you know, maybe a better example, if you need, like, desperately need repairs of infrastructure like an airport or a highway, you're going to see that the government moves very slowly. And to get anything done, to get any money, I mean, it is a real gauntlet, right? It's a real pain in the ass. If Israel wants something, you often don't even hear about it until it's already passing. It takes about a week. We've seen this in things like selling TikTok, where previously, because it was owned by China and they were feeding crap into our children's head, Trump tried to, you know, get the energy together to force China to sell TikTok. No takers. It went on for months. Nobody wanted to do anything with it. But then Israel wanted to buy TikTok, and within 2 weeks they had it. I mean, it was done. Problem solved. So this is another example of this. So Bibi Netanyahu calls up he rings him on the Shabbos phone, and he says, I need you to fuse the American and Israeli military. They say, yes, sir. Within a week, it's already like out of the committee and going to the floor for a vote. They're hoping to get this under the wire. Luckily, somebody noticed, started talking about it, and somebody at the Pentagon then released a report showing that Israel is probably the biggest threat to our sovereignty the world over. This is not new. This is a very, very old situation. Let's go now to clip number one, and we'll just look at a few examples over the recent past. Let's watch.
Unreasoned about the concerns we have about Israel.
Well, I think it is.
What is it?
Because I think what I'm reading is you believe the Israelis are actually hostile to our country.
Yes.
And are trying to do harm to it.
Pentagon raised threat of Israel spying to highest level. Israel flagged as top spy threat to U.S. in new Snowden document. Israel, current espionage against U.S. unrivaled and unseemly. Covert economic espionage against strategic ally. Israel caught spying on America again. Trump's commander fires blunt warning as Israel spies on U.S. forces at secretive Gaza camp. Israel won't stop spying on the U.S. That's from 2014. Israel has been caught spying on the U.S. again. Israel reportedly surveilled, recorded American CMCC bases. IDF denies absurd claim. Israel accused of spying on U.S. forces monitoring Gaza ceasefire. Israeli surveillance targets U.S. and allies at joint base planning. Qatar, Saudi Arabia arrest Israeli intel spies. Pegasus spyware used to hack U.S. diplomats working abroad. Department hacked by Israeli company with spyware. Ex-U.S. envoy to Israel David Friedman tapped ahead and battled spyware firm NSO Group. Israeli spyware used to spy on U.S. officials. New NSA document highlights Israel's espionage in the U.S. Israel something prominent spies revealed the former Israeli spies working top jobs at Google, Facebook, and elsewhere. Revealed Israeli spies are writing Americans' news. How Israeli spy veterans are shaping U.S. big tech. The former Israeli spies overseeing government cybersecurity. Revelations of Israeli spyware abuse raises fears of possible use by Trump. U.S.-Israel spy strains emerge over Iran. Ex-spy Jonathan Pollard, U.S. Mike Huckabee have a meeting. White House unaware the U.S. ambassador to Israel met a convicted spy. Conservative media hosts concerns over U.S. diplomats meeting with ex-Israel spy. Epstein trained as Israeli spy, FBI document says. Israeli spying is not new, but the Trump administration's response is how to make sense of the accusations that Israel spies on the U.S. Yes, they're really asked John Spiro if he's an Israeli spy. Oh, Lord. That was a very, very small sampling over just the last decade. This stuff goes back 100 years, folks. It's way worse than you just heard. We'll get into it. Stay with us. Second hour.
I'll start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Insane if you don't get it. Okay? Well, listen. Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. Insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. Stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. Do you understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
TheAlexShow.com.
Welcome back, folks. Second hour is on. We just saw a compilation that began with yours truly saying the obvious that, yeah, Israel is our enemy. Do you not understand this yet? Do you not get this? Like, how many times do you have to be screwed over by somebody before you just accept? Like, this is one of those things where it's like, do you need somebody to tell you? Do you need Israel to literally say, like, to chant death to America? Is that the only way you can understand an enemy, is if they say to your face that they are trying to destroy you? Because they're not going to do that. They're going to destroy you quiet. That's actually the opposite of what they're going to do. I don't know how you can come to any other conclusion than that Israel is literally our enemy and must be destroyed. That compilation, which was a smattering, a selection of, you know, spy stories about Israel and America starting around 2014, you know, up till the present day. That was, I think, by Hippie Resident at Hippie Resident on X. I believe that's the, it's at least the name that was on the end of the video. But like, again, it's a lot, right? Don't get me wrong. That was a lot. But when you actually have studied this stuff for a long time, there are endless examples. Because most of the examples aren't even really fully known or fleshed out. Like, what'll happen is, and it's interesting. Sometimes it'll be between Jewish groups. Like, there was a story, I think in the 80s, where it was like the Simon Wiesenthal Center and the ADL were at war with each other. And, yeah, there it is. U.S. intelligence, 30 years of reports. Israel is the number one spy against America. But the whole thing ended with, you know, a lawsuit or a trial of some sort that basically proved that, I believe it was the ADL, was working with the Israeli government to spy on American citizens. And then they're giving that information to the ADL to, you know, try to win this PR war against the Simon Wiesenthal Center, if I'm not mistaken. But this would be another example of just like, yes, Israel does spy on the American government officially. You can listen to any interview with John Kiriakou, where he talks about the aggressiveness with which Israel is constantly trying to infiltrate every aspect of the American government. And they have. I mean, we know that the you know, bills passed about the, what do they say? Not the consecrating, but they adopt basically the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, which conflates all criticism of Israel with criticism of Jewish people. And then in the laws where they pass accepting this definition of anti-Semitism, they also provide for offices to be established in every single branch of the federal government. So like the Department of Education has an anti-Semitism monitor who it's their full-time job to oversee the entire, you know, branch of the government to make sure that everything that's coming out of that doesn't just not offend Jews, but like actively pushes their agenda and actively supports their foreign state. That already exists in everywhere of the federal government, I guess, except for the military. But it does kind of exist for the military. The IDF, Mossad, has offices in the Pentagon. And a lot of people that are working for our military-industrial complex are just straight-up Israeli agents, even if they're technically American, even if they don't even have, you know, dual citizenship. They're still working for Israel. So what we saw, while it was a sizable collection of examples of Israel spying on Americans, it's like just the barely scratching the surface. by the way, this is just, let's talk about the spying. We'll move on from the USS Liberty. I think we've, as an organization, we've talked about that quite a bit. Let's begin with, this is a little rundown of the story from Ryan Rosbiani. Pentagon flags Israel as critical spy threat to America. The Defense Intelligence Agency just raised its counterintelligence threat level for Israel to its highest tier, citing aggressive efforts to surveil top U.S. officials. Yes, Israel is spying on the Trump administration. The target is the Trump administration's internal deliberations on Iran. A 7-page DIA assessment names specific incidents and warns Israel's human espionage and technical collection now sits at a critical level. The embassy in Washington calls it completely false. The Pentagon's own spy catchers disagree. America's closest ally in the region is now being watched like an adversary. Kind of. They should be. Whether that will actually happen or not depends on the personal loyalty of the people who are trusted with carrying this out. Gen X Girl at Gen X Girl 1994, of course, has been doing incredible work on this. She's probably one of the best accounts to follow, hands down, on X. She says Israeli lobby bought lawmakers are facilitating a whole of government takeover by Israel. Get the full picture so you understand what's happening. So let's go ahead and go to clip number two here. This was created by Gen X Girl, and this is just the latest battlefield, the latest full frontal attack from the Israeli forces in this information war. Let's watch clip two now. I'll read along. So Tom Cotton is the one that suggests this. He got over $1 million from AIPAC. U.S.-Israeli intelligence sharing expansion, section 622, further embedding Israel into America's military-industrial complex. R-Res 1339, support Netanyahu's initiative to transition U.S. relationship towards defense cooperation. You have Mike Rogers and Adam Smith, both receiving nearly $1 million or $500,000. Section 244 in the NDAA is the U.S.-Israel Defense Technology Cooperation Initiative. You've got these four jokesters. H.R. 7560, S.B. 3855, U.S.-Israel Framework for Upgraded Tech Unified Research Enhanced Securities Act. H.R. 1229, S.554, the U.S.-Israel Defense Partnership Act, mandates Defense Innovation Unit Office in Israel. And then this is the sort of overall view of this. And you can see it's more or less weighted evenly on either side. Half the people pushing this are Democrats. Half of them pushing it are Republicans. So, again, you've got one, two, three, at least five examples of this. But some of them are sort of dual pushes, right? So let me just read this whole thing. Israeli lobby bought by lawmakers are facilitating a whole of government takeover by Israel. Get the full picture so you understand what's happening. A whole of government entrenchment of Israeli influence is advancing through coordinated legislation that subordinates U.S. intelligence, defense, and foreign policy priorities to Tel Aviv's agenda at the expense of American sovereignty, interest, and taxpayers. Section 622 of the Senate's FY27, financial year 27, intelligence authorization, quote, enhances U.S.-Israel intelligence sharing by further embedding a foreign power into America's most sensitive national security apparatus and makes it nearly impossible to disentangle U.S. intelligence from Israel. That is sponsored by Senator Tom Cotton, one of their favorite little golems. H.Res 1339 endorses Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu's plan to shift the relationship from U.S. aid to mutual defense cooperation and joint investments, praising joint operations against Iran while pushing deeper entanglement. Don't you love that they're like the one example they have for how this has worked in the past has been the war in Iran, the war that we are now 100 days into the 4-day operation with no end in sight and Israel keeps effing up for us? Yeah, great point. We should do that more. Section 224 of the FY27 NDAA establishes a U.S.-Israel Defense Technology Cooperation Initiative, tasking the Pentagon with synchronizing bilateral research, development, testing, and industrial integration across critical domains like AI, counter-drones, cyber, directed energy, and missile defense, explicitly prioritizing Israeli origin technology for integration into U.S. systems and programs of record. You know, there are lots of things to point to that would be real world examples of why this is a suicidally bad idea for America to pursue. People point, you know, obviously to the pager attack against Hezbollah. And sure, they could potentially do something as intense as that against, you know, the American military. But like once this gets implemented, it's over. And where do you go from here? And what do you do once this gets implemented? What do you do once all of this stuff is embedded? You cannot extricate it. And by the way, all of this stuff is happening already. This is just like solidifying it. This is just confirming it outright once and for all. Explicitly prioritizing Israeli origin technology for integration into U.S. systems and programs of record. Directed energy, Jewish space lasers, I think they're called. The U.S.-Israel's Future Act, H.R. 7540, S. 3855, formalizes this initiative with $150 million authorized, creating frameworks for joint ventures, co-production, and rapidly fielding of Israeli tech into the U.S. military. The U.S.-Israeli Defense Partnership Act, H.R. 1229, S. 554, mandates a Defense Innovation Unit office in Israel cooperating counter-unmanned system programs, RTD&E, and emerging technologies like AI and robotics, and efforts to fold Israel into the U.S. national technology and industrial base alongside allies like the UK and Australia. Now, if you remember, one of the things that Lebanon John often talks about, if you ever watch Moonbase or have heard his calls here, is the fact that I believe they're the S-300 missiles that Russia was giving to Iran. And Israel really didn't want Russia to give these to Iran because they are a very powerful missile battery that could, you know, take down Israeli jets. And so they forced Russia to include code in the operating program of the S-300 to where it would not target Israeli jets. That's the type of thing that they're opening up with this Defense Cooperation Technology Act. That's the type of thing that they do. Iran obtains a game-changing S-300 missile system from Russia. It's very, very hard to find this, but the ones they sold to Iran cannot target Israeli jets. So if you see an Israeli jet coming towards you, you tell the S-300 to take it down, it doesn't recognize it because it scans, it reads the identification code, knows it's an Israeli jet, and there's a program note in the operating system that says you're not allowed to target these jets. So that's the type of thing that Israel could do, is every weapon created by America could literally be programmed where it could never actually target Israel. When you're talking about AI being the power behind waging war into the future, how effective do you think that will be? How necessary or useful do you think that will be in the future? If you are in charge of programming the enemy's robots, you've won. Like, you don't even have to, they can't do anything. What are they going to do? It's unbelievable the vulnerabilities that we are opening up by allowing Israel to do this. Like, truly shocking. So how does it happen? So how does something like this even occur? Because you would think, and it seems like maybe even patriots at the Pentagon are under the assumption that, like, the American Congress serves the American people, and maybe they think Israel is our friend, but if they knew what the, yeah, there it is. Russian's air defense can't stop Israel from stomping on Iran in Syria with airstrikes. I'm not sure if that's the exact story, but again, that's what they, I mean, do you not believe me? I mean, what do you think Israel would do? They would just let an S-300 go to Iran so they could take down Israeli jets? Of course not. Of course not. That's the genius, right? The genius. They gave us Apollo gold pagers to destroy Hezbollah. That's the type of genius that they're now using against America. So all of these things get proposed all at once in a variety of different forms from a variety of different political persuasions and from both political parties. How does that happen? How do we get here? I probably should have grabbed the clip, but you can find it yourself if you want. The lobby. You really got to watch the whole documentary series. I think there are three episodes. There's the Lobby US and the Lobby UK. The Lobby US is three episodes long. I highly recommend absolutely everybody watch it and take notes while you do, not just for the events that it covers in this documentary, but the methods behind the events, the strategies that are revealed by it. One of the things it reveals, and if you have a video with all three documentary series in a row, it comes in about the 56-minute mark, if I'm not mistaken. Because I was looking it up today just to remind myself, I should have grabbed the video. But it's somebody in AIPAC, and they're recorded on a phone talking to a new AIPAC recruit and explaining to them how these fundraisers work. And what they say is they are the most powerful. They say we have the most bang for your buck. Like, they just know that, like, AIPAC is the most powerful lobby, and the politicians know that as well. And so they rent a room in a hotel in upstate, or an upscale hotel somewhere in New York, and they bring the politicians. Politicians have to come to them, and they take them into a room, and sitting in front of them is like 20 to 50 Jewish people who say, we represent all Jews, we are the Jewish community, and also here's a giant pile of money for the person that answers our questions the best. This is literally how it works. So they have a giant pile. They all contribute the maximum amount, which is like $2,000. And so if you got 50 people, it's like $100,000, right? Something like that, that they have in gift cards, in Visa gift cards. So they compile them all in a pile, and they say, this is for who answers our questions the best. Remember, we represent the Jewish community, all Jews everywhere. That's us. And so then they ask the politician about themselves, and they answer questions, and they basically grill them and give them a little, you know, interview, audition, and whoever answers questions best, they get the support, which, of course, the money is a major motivating factor. But even more than that, it's the knowledge that the people in this room that you're talking to are the heads of networks and influential politicians. And yes, the money will be helpful for the campaign you're running, but even more helpful will be the good press, will be the positive support that you get. And this, of course, is said explicitly in the lobby documentary. And so what you end up with are people from every political background taking every different position on any different topic, except they align on one thing. And in this case, with the lobby, it was specifically the JCPOA, the Iran war, or the Iran agreement that Obama signed, limiting their nuclear, like the nuclear deal, the Iran nuclear deal. This was right after that had passed, and that was the overriding concern. And so what you're going to get is you're going to get a, you know, pro-life Catholic conservative, and you're going to get a pro-abortion, transgender, you know, progressive Democrat, but they're both going to believe very strongly, and more than they believe anything else, that Iran cannot be allowed to have a nuclear weapon and that Israel must be supported at all costs. It's actually very simple. It's alignment. It's alignment on one singular issue. And the politicians know this. And so the politicians themselves go, look, I don't really care about the Iran deal. I might even like the Iran deal. But I've got 100 different priorities I want to achieve things with. This is one of them. I can abandon that. If I can achieve my 99 other goals, I'll compromise on the one. Who cares? Well, if everybody does that, then you've got a bunch of people working on their own goals, you know, contradicting each other and working against each other. But then when it comes time to vote on something about Israel, they all are aligned. They're all on the same page. No friction. It just blows right through. That's how this works. And again, it's I consider it dishonest. I consider it a betrayal in many ways of democracy. There's nothing against the law about doing this. And I don't even know if I can necessarily call it immoral at the end of the day. But it's an effective strategy, and it's how you end up with people from both sides of the aisle supporting this wholeheartedly, because no matter what they believe, you have to be in support of Israel if you want support of the donor class, of the Epstein class, of the media class. You have to be on their level in this one topic, but everything else can be whatever else you want it to be. So we can't get anything done for ourselves because the overriding concern is for Israel, and the support that is shown by the, you know, Jewish lobby here in America is the thing that gives these people their power. So they have no obligation or self-serving interest to do what is best for America or best for their constituents. Their constituents can be manipulated by the people with the money, so they have to serve the people with the money. So as the Pentagon, you know, puts out this warning going, hey, Israel is not our friends and they've been spying on us like crazy, ideally, this would be a wake-up call to the politicians that were putting this stuff forward, and they might backtrack a little bit. The thing is, they know this. They're in favor of it. They've been bought off. They're traitors. Not really all that complicated, actually. The Pentagon is increasingly concerned about Israel ramping up its spying in the U.S. recently, raising the counterintelligence level threat from America's top ally in the Middle East to the highest level, according to two U.S. officials and one former U.S. official. This, again, represents simply the latest and possibly final move of, as Gen X Girl puts it, the whole of government takeover by Israel that we've been reporting on the entire time that it's been unrolling, unfolding before us with the passing incrementally of things like first the IHRA anti-Semitism definition, and with that you get the anti-Semitism offices, and then you have the anti-Semitism czar who oversees all of it, and he of course is able to then use his official position in the U.S. government to lean on things like big tech and AI to force them to fall in line with their agenda, and they do it again with the, you know, cloaked in the power of the collective American people. But I'm telling you, I guess we'll get into it now because I've got so much to cover. Maybe I'll save it till the next round because we got a short commercial break here. And I want to go over a list of just some of the recent examples of Israel spying on America, because not only does it expose that their spying is widespread and unconfronted by the authorities and, you know, obviously targeting people like Donald Trump and his allies, like all of that will be made, you know, undeniably clear. But the other thing is the danger of the Israelis. Like, even the New York Times will admit that Mossad was recently caught putting tracking devices on Secret Service vehicles. What they don't tell you is that those Secret Service vehicles are the Secret Service ambulances that would transport Trump in the event of an assassination attempt or other injury. Why would you want to track the ambulance that's there to transport the president in the event of an attack? There's only one reason. It's so that you can finish the job if the first assassination fails. They want to know where he's going to be taken, where he's going to be if their first assassination attempt fails, and you want to get them at the hospital, get them en route, get them shortly after the first attack fails, as short as possible. That's what happened to General Patton. They attempted to assassinate him in a car crash. He survived, and then the hospital was killed by one of the doctors. So one of the things that made me suspicious early on about the Charlie Kirk assassination was that Benjamin Netanyahu was the first person to report it, meaning that he was in direct communication with somebody at the hospital where Charlie Kirk was. Just to me, sort of going, okay, so they got contacts out at the hospital. So maybe if the first shot didn't work right, maybe, you know, there would have been complications in the recovery. Could be. We don't know. So I'm going to get into, again, just a little smattering of some of the most direct attacks against American secrecy and privacy by Israel. I do want to remind you to support us at thealexjonesstore.com. We have a mega sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. You're getting up to 40% off some of our top selling products, 35% off more, and 30% off the rest. So 40% off Methylene Red, Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue Tincture, and Methylene Blue Gummies, MK Ultra, and the War Cry Smelling Salts. And you know, a lot of companies will give big discounts on products that don't sell very well, but in this case, our best selling products are also the ones with the biggest discounts. So you're getting T3 iodine, you're getting Methylene Red, Methylene Blue Tincture, and gummies, all of it on sale, massive discounts, thealexjonesstore.com. Stay with us.
Plug for about 90 seconds at the end of the first hour. Didn't plug any last hour, and I'd raise that point. I'd say, oh, not good, I didn't plug. It's bad I didn't plug, but I didn't want to interrupt that guest. That's how we fund this operation. If I just plugged twice an hour, we've done the math, we'd have plenty of funds around this place, and I can then hire more crew, more stuff, and... But I don't do it, so we're almost in the red again. So be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny. And the products really work because we want to sell you something that is going to be great, that's good for you, that blows you away. So you go, man, that Alex Jones was right again. Not just about what he covers and says, but the products. Our T3 iodine is not instant gratification. It takes about 2 weeks on average for it to kick in. It is the missing link. Most people are iodine deficient. The iodine that's in the environment, most of it's bound, meaning it's not atomic. It's not pure on the periodic table. It is bound to a whole bunch of other stuff, and you don't absorb it properly. This is atomic iodine. It does everything. Now, again, you die without oxygen in 4 minutes. Everybody knows this. 4 minutes without oxygen, the average person's dead. Some people quicker. Without water, you die in about 4 days. Out in the desert today, most people die in about 45 days without food. Now, why is that? Because the food has the vitamins and minerals in it. And I know I'm talking to you like you're 5 years old. I know most of you get this, but for others that don't. Iodine, you can look it up, is one of the essential elements that without iodine, you die. Now, in the 1920s, they noticed about a 15-20 point IQ reduction, particularly in the Midwest, and massive spikes nationwide of child deformities, birth defects. And they did a bunch of big government studies and found that people that lived on coastal cities and that ate a lot of fish had higher IQs and basically almost no deformities. And they went, oh, it's the iodine. So they started putting a cheap form that's bound, but you still get some of it, but sodium fluoride, I think someone, in the salts. When I was a kid, it still said Morton salts, iodine added. You know, the little girl with the umbrella and it says when it rains, it pours. This is the super version of that. Just a few drops a day. It takes 2 weeks on average to kick in for the average person. And your skin, your stamina, your libido. I remember, like, gosh, time flies, like 18 years ago or something, I met Dr. Edward Grubb, really smart guy, total visionary. And he said, listen, you need to start taking atomic iodine. And he'd come out with the only one. And he said, you should sell this private label. And I said, okay. He said, you know, you got some of those sunspots on your face. And I was like 38 then or so. And I didn't have bad skin, but I did have some sunspots, brown spots and stuff that weren't freckles. You know, I call them liver spots. And he said, all this other stuff will happen, your libido, everything. He goes, it's about 2 weeks for it to kick in. And right at about the 2 week mark of the average person, you'll kind of feel crappy for a day or two. It's not like you have a cold or the flu, but you feel kind of groggy and tired. That's when it shifts in the cells, the mitochondria. And then a lot of toxins will get pushed out. You might even break out or something. But he said, after that, you'll feel incredible. 2 weeks later, I go, man, I feel like crap today. I have no energy. Lasts about a day. And then when I woke up the next day after feeling sick the day before, it was like I'd been carrying, you know, one of my kids on my shoulders. I'd carry them, you know, they were like 5 or 6, sometimes it'd be exhausting, but you take them off your shoulders, it feels so good. That's what it felt like. You're insane if you don't get this, and it funds our operation. And I only sell stuff that works, but it's not instant gratification. 2 weeks. Now be careful with it. Talk to your physician before, because if you've got some different thyroid issues, it can cause problems. In most cases, it helps, but you talk to your physicians. This isn't a game. And so a small percentage of people can do some weird stuff. So be careful. I'm not selling placebo here. I only sell stuff that kick you like a mule in a good way. Be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the Pentagon has raised the threat level from Israel spying to its highest level. This is nothing new. I believe this was only released because there was this plan to fully integrate the Israeli military into the American military, which, again, is just the latest and sort of final step of the whole of government collaboration that has been happening incrementally for the last several years, and we've been reporting on and protesting every single development. But, like, this problem is so much bigger because, again, they're only trying to, like, legalize and make official what is already happening to a very large degree, and not just in the military and not just all that stuff. It's everywhere. I mean, Apple is now getting its chips from Israel. Meaning Israel is going to have root level, base level, hardware level access to every phone that they make, including the politicians and everybody else. I mean, this is such a huge, monumental threat to our safety. It's really hard to even quantify. And again, it's everywhere, right? Meta has taken legal action against Israeli spy firm NSO, foiling phishing attacks. Meta said on Monday it is filing a federal, and this was it's from today, June 8th, 2026. I thought this was an older, okay, so this actually happened today. I thought this was a, something like this happened last year. I thought this was, so apparently it happened again. Okay. Israeli spy firm NSO Group, they're filing a federal order of contempt against Israeli spy firm NSO Group for violating a permanent injunction that barred it forever targeting WhatsApp and its users. The company said its WhatsApp messaging service disrupted new spear phishing attempts linked to NSO, an entity blacklisted by the U.S. government for engaging in activities that are contrary to the national security or foreign policy interest. These attempts were similar to previous one-click phishing campaigns aimed to trick users into clicking malicious links and directing them to external websites, Meta said in a blog post. One click is a type of cyber attack where a single click on a malicious link or attachment is sufficient to compromise a victim's device or account without requiring them to enter their credentials. Meta said WhatsApp took down test accounts and groups created by NSO on its platform. NSO did not immediately respond to a Reuters request for comment. And if you think that the term NSO sounds familiar, it's because it is one of the entities involved in the push to, bring this collaboration about. Meanwhile, this is all the way back in 2019, Israel accused of planting mysterious spy devices near the White House. Yeah, again, I was constantly shocked that people didn't make a bigger deal out of this. And I remember at the time learning about this and being like reporting on it. Nobody seemed to care. And like since then, I brought it up and people like don't believe it because it's so egregious. It's crazy. Stingray devices, in case you don't know, are basically fake cell phone towers. So when your cell phone sends out a signal searching for a cell phone tower to ping back, it'll get a signal going, oh, yeah, I'm a cell phone tower. I'm open. I'm right here. And so it'll start communicating to it, thinking it's a cell phone tower. It's not. It's a collection device. I mean, it'll work as a tower so that your phone doesn't, it'll still connect and think that it's just going through a normal cell tower. But in fact, all traffic being passed to or from your phone is intercepted and stored by the Stingray device. The U.S. government concluded within the past 2 years that Israel was most likely behind the placement of cell phone surveillance devices that were found near the White House and other sensitive locations around Washington, according to three former U.S. officials with knowledge of the matter. But unlike most other occasions where flagrant incidents of foreign spying have been discovered on American soil, the Trump administration did not rebuke the Israeli government, and there were no consequences for Israel's behavior, one of the former officials said. The miniature surveillance devices, colloquially known as stingrays, mimic regular cell towers to fool cell phones into giving them their locations and identity information. Formerly called International Mobile Subscriber Identity Catchers, or IMSI catchers, they can capture the contents of calls and data use. The devices were likely intended to spy on President Donald Trump, one of the former officials said, as well as his top aides and closest associates, though it's not clear whether the Israeli efforts were successful. And this, it's like the example that we were reading a couple weeks ago where the data center in Georgia somehow connected an industrial level hookup to the municipal water system and nobody noticed. Like, just think about that for a second. What do you need to do if you're just want to dig under your sidewalk or something? You got to get permits and if they bust you doing stuff you're not supposed to, especially on city property. Somehow these people have the expertise, have the connections, have the wherewithal to not only install these things on telephone poles outside the White House, or in the case of the data center, to actually go into the municipal water service, attach an industrial line that was getting something like 30,000 gallons a day and never even get a bill for it, never even acknowledge it officially. Like, how does that happen? How do you do that? How do you install Stingray devices outside the White House, get caught doing it, and nothing happens? Think about the levels of complicity that needs to occur here. Somebody in our government is helping them do this. Somebody else is covering it up. They're everywhere. And this was one of the stories that went a long way in convincing me that Trump was not their guy. Because I remember this in the first administration. I would use this as proof and go, I don't think Trump is their guy. Why would they install Stingray devices? Why would they install tracking devices on the Secret Service vehicle? So then you start getting into the really confusing and convoluted PSYOP upon PSYOP where you're like, would Israel want us thinking that for some reason? Why would they want us thinking that's the case? Would that be to throw off the fact that Trump is working for them? That they would have the evidence that they were the ones spying on him and tracking him. It's like they wouldn't do that if he was on their team. Did I fall for it? Is that why this was allowed to be known? But I'm not really
ready to accept that fully. And we have an interesting video from Tucker Carlson that might, you know, hint at more than this. So I don't know. I'm not sure if he's on their team or not, to be honest with you. I'm pretty convinced he's doing absolutely everything that they want and destroying the Republican Party and America and, you know, enriching himself. But I don't think it was always like that. I don't know why they would install stingray devices if thinking maybe they got away with it because he was there. So maybe they just installed it there knowing they would get away with it. I guess there are a couple different options. And you have this. This is from the New York Times article. The report, which incorporated contributions from a number of military intelligence agencies, also detailed several episodes in recent years. In 2021, Israeli military intelligence officers were caught planting listening devices at DIA headquarters. Last year, officers from Shin Bet, Israel's domestic intelligence agency, were discovered to have tried planting a listening device in a Secret Service vehicle. Remember, the vehicle they're talking about is the ambulance that would transport Trump should a assassination attempt be tried. Meanwhile, it's kind of small, it's hard to read. The Israeli cyber intelligence firm that shared the same building as Apple is the NSO Group. So the NSO Group apparently is very close to Apple. The company, known for its Pegasus software, previously maintained offices at the same complex as Apple's Research and Development Center in Herzliya Putyatk, Israel. The proximity drew significant media attention due to the highly adversarial relationship between the two companies. Apple filed a major federal lawsuit against NSO Group for targeting Apple users with sophisticated zero-click software exploits. Due to the dispute and shifting business needs, NSO Group relocated to a different office complex in the area. So again, whether it's, you know, big tech, AI, they're all being either pressured or manipulated or probably blackmailed by Israel to silence the criticisms, the valid and accurate criticisms of the genocidal state. Again, from New York Times, Pentagon sees growing espionage threat from Israel. And they go through just a few of the examples of the Israeli spying at an especially sensitive time. Israel and the U.S. have been fighting the war in Iran together and have never had such close military coordination as they do now. And so this is another part that I'm just being honest. I don't know what to make of this. And it's because we're operating in a world of shadows and mirrors and deception. And we've expressed many times confusion at the way Trump treats Bibi Netanyahu, for example, somebody who he has tweeted out is a warmongering bastard. He has cursed him out about, you know, congratulating Joe Biden before the counting was done. And yet he's like every day writing a love letter on a handmade Valentine, begging the president of Israel to pardon Bibi because he's just such a magnificent human. So it's like, I guess I kind of, and, you know, again, you can kind of make up all sorts of reasons why they'd be doing this, and each is kind of more valid than the last. I mean, I think the obvious assumption is that Trump is beholden to Israel and beholden to Netanyahu and is, you know, I don't know, being forced to do it somehow or another, you know, begging for the pardons. Again, it just doesn't make any sense on the face of it. Then it's like, okay, maybe Trump really is like this Bibi guy keeps starting wars because he's going to go to jail for corruption. Please pardon him so we can stop the wars. Like, maybe that's where he's coming from. I don't know. Again, I'm not going to try to, you know, pull a muscle trying to justify Trump's actions with Israel, but it's one of these litmus tests, kind of like Rorschach tests, where you go, no, Trump is actually, you know, the reason he wants Bibi to be pardoned is because he actually wants to stop Israel waging these wars. And so he needs Bibi to not be under threat. But I don't know. There are lots of strategic reasons why you could go one way or the other. But then you've got things like what happened over the weekend. And I guess they moved it up a day because last week I started Monday by going, I just need to record a message I play every Monday. It did happen again. Only this time it was like kind of over the weekend where Trump was saying there's a ceasefire agreement there and Netanyahu was bombing Lebanon and Trump is saying, I'm the one who calls the shots. But Bibi is saying, I have to say no to the president of America sometimes. And it's like, are they really at odds? Is it really a power struggle going on? Because Israel bombed Iran this weekend. Israel bombed Iran. Israel cannot bomb Iran without American help. They don't have the tankers to refuel over Iraq. They need our help. So Trump is saying we're not going to help them, but then we obviously are because they bombed Iran and they can't bomb Iran without our help. But then other reports are saying that when Iran bombed Israel this weekend, America didn't help intercept the missiles, and that Trump was in a way coming through with his promise of saying, if you guys keep this up, you're on your own. America's not going to come rescue you. So what's the truth? I think it's anybody's speculation. I assume Trump knows, but I don't even know if he does. I mean, who knows at this point? Who knows? Because none of it really makes sense, no matter how you cut it. So all I can assume is that it's all deception all the way down. That, to me, that seems like the safe approach. Otherwise, it's like, okay, Trump doesn't want Israel doing this, but we are helping them to bomb Iran. It just doesn't make any sense. And maybe it doesn't make sense because they're lying. Like, maybe, you know, Trump putting his foot down is a lie, as I've thought it was a few times in the past. Because again, the reasoning starts with Israel gambled it all on this push to become a superpower. They have put it all on the table. They understand this is their last chance ever. If they don't get it now, maybe they got a couple years they can hang on. But like, every day that goes on, Israel is less likely to pull this off. They're not going to get another chance like the chance they have now. They have to keep pushing. They have to make this work. And I mean, maybe I'm paranoid here, but you've got like this seeming break between Israel and America as America's seemingly with Trump at the helm going, we're sick of this. We're not going to, you know, go along with this. And so the war seems like it's coming to an end with no major event kickstarting it again. It could just fizzle out, in which case Israel, yes, they will have gained some of Gaza, but they will have destroyed their reputation overseas. Iran will be more powerful than they were when they began. I mean, they're looking down the barrel of extinction in 10 years if things just sort of fizzle out here. And we're 3 days away from the start of the World Cup in America. Are these things, maybe these things are not related. Maybe they're totally separate. But I can't help but see everything kind of coming to a head. I can't help but be a bit concerned at the lack of forward movement in the investigation of people going into the tunnels under New York City. I can't help but see America in this state of chaos as we're about to kickstart the biggest international event the world holds. I mean, the World Cup is bigger than the Olympics by far. It's all across America. They're doing it in L.A. and New York and Kansas City and Houston and Seattle, and I mean, it's and Mexico and Toronto and all these, you know, international places as well. Monterrey and Mexico City, I know, are on the list. It's a pretty big security operation, you know, that we're going to try to pull off here. And as far as I can tell, our security situation in America, it's not any better than it was when Biden was in charge and opening up the border to tens of millions of hostile foreigners. From somewhere, from parts unknown, for motives unknown. I think we've been in false flag, red alert territory for a while. But I've said over and over, if there is going to be some sort of false flag attack to fully get us in. Oh, and then they're like admitting that Iran has nuclear weapons. And I'm just like, are they setting this up? Are they really setting up? Because it would have to be something. It would have to be because everybody's so suspicious. Everybody knows now what's going on. But what if you have a stadium full of people die on live TV? What if it happens again the next day? Like, what would the reaction be from the American people? Would we be able to say, hey, look, we know this is Israel and we're not going to stand for it? Or would we say, I don't want to get blown up by a nuke. Do what you want, government, just protect me. Meanwhile, U.S. military personnel in Israel found secret spyware on their phones as Congress pushes U.S. military merger from ibtimes.co.uk. U.S. defense personnel stationed in Israel discovered their communications intercepting software had been secretly installed on their mobile phones, prompting the Pentagon's intelligence arm to raise the espionage threat from a key ally to its highest ever level. Well, you know, once again, you know, you've got the Hezbollah pager attacks. You've got the S-300 being programmed not to attack Israeli jets. You also have the way Syria was taken over, in which the Syrian army had all of their phones hacked because an app that was pushed by the first lady of Syria was actually Israeli spyware. They gave them access to the phone and they can intercept, destroy, or send fake messages, totally destroying the ability of the army to coordinate. And so it made an easy job to overrun them with the Islamic Horde under the ISIS commander Jolani. So, like, this is what Israel does. This is what they're good at. This is how they win. This is where they pour all of their money and effort and time. And we're going to let them merge themselves to us, tie us to them at the hip, when literally every one of their major successes in the past decade has been the direct result of hacking or manipulating technology somehow. Again, beyond absurd, beyond absurd. Angry Pentagon sources leak reports of Israel's unhinged spying on U.S. officials. It's no secret, this is from Zero Hedge, it's no secret that Israeli spying and surveillance is pervasive, and it's often directed at the most powerful ally and backer, the U.S. But the phenomenon has escalated of late, outraging Washington intelligence officials. Behind the scenes of this alliance, which mainstream media pundits typically protect as essentially untouchable, deep-seated friction is boiling over. In an unprecedented move, the Pentagon has officially elevated Israel's counterintelligence threat level to the highest possible category, driven by surging internal alarm that this primary Mideast regional ally is aggressively ramping up espionage operations targeting senior U.S. officials, even Trump's own top Iran negotiator. Who, Jared Kushner? Wait a second. They're spying on Jared Kushner? I don't think so. I think he works for them. So again, this is all part of the whole of government takeover. GenXGirl.substack.com has the story. GenXGirl.substack.com. She is on X at GenXGirl1994. The whole of government entrenchment of Israeli influence is advancing through coordinated legislation that subordinates U.S. intelligence, defense, and foreign policy priorities to Tel Aviv's agenda at the expense of American sovereignty, interests, and taxpayers. Once again, goes through all of the various resolutions proposed in the last couple of months by people of the Democrat and Republican persuasion. And, you know, it's not like there's one bill that's just like, we will be subjects of Israel. We're all going to be slaves. But each one of these is a part of a singular construction for which that is the truth. These measures represent a dangerous erosion of U.S. autonomy by locking in American taxpayers, innovators, and warfighters into perpetual one-way technology transfers and industrial dependencies that benefit a foreign nation first, dilute focus on domestic manufacturing, risk entangling in the U.S. and Middle East conflicts, and treat Israel's security as inseparable from America's despite diverging interests, massive ongoing costs, and opposition to the U.S.-Israeli relationship by a majority of Americans. This is incremental capture of key levers of the U.S. government power by a foreign country, Israel. This article will focus on Section 622 of the Senate FY27 Intelligence Authorization Act, which has received little attention from the public. Of course, that's what the John Bowne report exposed yesterday that Alex showed you, and I hope you've shared on your X. And again, you really should, you know, go through and read this because it's got some really interesting, you know, aspects of it that I haven't seen talked about anywhere else. Things like forced expansion to Abraham Accords countries. The bill requires the U.S. to expand intelligence sharing and analytic cooperation with any nations that normalize relationships with Israel under the Abraham Accords framework. Priority areas include counterterrorism, cyber, air, missile defense, and maritime security. This effectively uses U.S. intelligence as diplomatic glue to advance a specific regional architecture, whether Americans support it or not. American foreign policy becomes the enforcer or quartermaster for Israel's normalization deals. If Israel wants closer ties with Gulf states, they should manage the intelligence dimensions themselves and perhaps start by not being a genocidal pariah state. Dragging America deeper into integrated Middle East security architecture increases entanglement risks and tripwires for U.S. involvement in future conflicts, which is one of a number of, you know, poison pills that no sovereign country would ever be okay with. And we're only okay with it because Israel has systematically bought out our entire government over the last several decades, and nobody's doing anything about it. So we'll move on here. Trump kind of embarrassed himself in interviews over the weekend. However, I mean, I agree with him walking off because, you know, the libs are stupid. And this, but this is sort of the problem that I've had with Trump the entire time, which is that, like, when he's going off the cuff, when he's sparring with a person in the media, he's great. He's amazing. He can insult them. He can, you know, hit them back with something. But I'd always complain every time Trump would do something like this. I would complain that the way he was talking was incomprehensible to regular people because he would reference things that, like, I know about and Alex Jones knows about, but that just sound insane to normal people because he doesn't explain it. He doesn't actually explain why he believes what he believes. He's right about what he's saying. Why does he not have the ability to explain it? It makes no sense. And I'd always go, this is one time. There were so many times that it was like, this is one time where Trump, all he needs to do is read a freaking script. In 2020, this was like the biggest deal because there was so much overwhelming evidence of voter fraud. And yet he never explained it. Nobody on his team ever explained it. And I remember the time being like, for the love of God, Trump, like, this is in between, you know, him getting, you know, losing the 2020 election and then January 6th. It was like, we're just begging Trump, please, Trump, just look at the camera and read a teleprompter, have your best assistants, just compile all of the evidence and just go through, because the media will air it. They'll air a primetime presidential address and you'll have the eyes of the nation and you can actually lay out the verifiable evidence of the fraud that is all around us, that exists in overabundant quantities, and yet he never can do that. He can never explain stuff that he should be able to explain. It's so annoying. It's so annoying because he looks like an idiot, and it makes everybody else think that he has no reason to believe what he believes. So I'll go to that video and some other videos from Trump. Now, on the other hand, he is just lying about, you know, never saying no new wars. He did say no new wars, so, you know, half of it is like reasonable, half of it is unreasonable. But at the end of the day, if he could sit there and enunciate why mail-in voting is fraudulent, then we could probably end it. Instead, he gets mad and runs away. Great. Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is what we're, this is our new normal. That, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a Shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. This is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple,
but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack. A massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the CMOS capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com. Shilajit gummies.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.